Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy, episode 100. It's April 18th, 2019. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here. We kind of missed last week, so we're going to have to double up on all of our things to make up for it and see how badly, how bad my memory is for most of the stuff that aired a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, Toonami announced that Attack on Titan Season 3 is coming in May again. It's coming back.
What's it replacing?
Actually, I don't know what is ending around that time. It might not. It's possible it's not replacing anything. They might just be adding it. It will, yeah, it's starting on May 20, 5th, yeah, it's not Hunter Hunter. That still will have episodes left by then. So my guess is they'll probably just put it someplace and then they'll just expand it by a little bit. And then when Hunter Hunter ends, well, maybe they'll add something new or maybe they'll, you know, just say, okay, well, we're done with that. We'll just go back to where we were before.
Well, don't they already have Attack on Titan reruns showing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, I don't think they'll be putting new episodes of Attack on Titan at the very end of the block.
But what I mean is that they won't substitute anything. They'll just move stuff or everything around.
Yeah, that is possible. I wasn't really thinking about that. I just always thought of the last thing on Toonami is just like wherever they put, they just put repeats of something there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so we've got, well, I guess we'll actually get to the stuff that aired, since we're covering two episodes. So I might be going through them a little, the synopses a little fast as a result. So episode 105 of Dragon Ball Super. Master Roshi actually does something and beats a bunch of enemies, which was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
Number 106 is when they end up going up against this sort of tag team of guys, because one of them shoots like lasers and the other one reflects them, so it turns sort of into a sniper thing and stuff, and they, you know, just have to go and get them and beat them. I know I'm going through that kind of fast, but there's just not... But I forgot most of the first one. The second one, there wasn't really that much to say about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've pretty much dropped Dragon Ball Super again because this arc hasn't been what everyone said it would be. I was hoping for something entertaining, but whenever it was just... this, I kind of lost interest again.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've still enjoyed it, but yeah, I mean, it is a lot better than the stuff we were dealing with before, even if it is just kind of a bunch of fights, but it does kind of, it does feel like it's kind of killing time until we inevitably get to the actually more interesting fights.
Right.
By the way, here's a completely random tangent. Do you want to know what happened in on August 6th through 14th of the year 1582?
Well, actually, it's because those dates don't exist. That's the correct answer.
Oh, wow, right? You actually knew. I just assumed you wouldn't know, and then I would say, oh, nothing happened because they don't exist. But you knew. Uh-huh. You are very learned, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it's because the way, well, I guess for anyone listening, I'm going to edumacate you. The way it used to be is that you just have a leap year every 4 years, which is kind of what we do now, but there were some years there weren't supposed to be a leap year cuz the year isn't exactly 365 and a quarter days. So they were actually they realized they had got it off, so they skipped forward those, like, 11 or so days to make, or 10 or so, nine, whatever, to make up for it. And that's why, from now on, we have leap years, but we don't, every 4 years, unless it's divisible by 100, but not divisible by 400.
Mm-hmm.
So that means in the year 2100 will not be a leap year. Unfortunately, we probably won't live to see that, so we just got 2000, which was a leap year because it's divisible by 400.
Mm-hmm.
Are you edumacated now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Then Boruto got moved later, but we're not really it's kind of late and we're not really covering it that much anymore. So, here's your Boruto description of episode 25. They went on a trip to another city, to another village. Got anything to add?
No, I just was curious why they decided to move Naruto Shippuden up so high in the lineup, given that it seems that no one cares about Naruto anymore, you know?
It actually
Who's a fan of it already knows what happened, you know?
It actually, I believe, was actually getting surprisingly decent ratings for where, for how late it was. Like, let me double check. Well, okay, so I'm looking at the stuff. I think it was actually doing okay sometimes. Yeah, like sometimes it would actually have more viewers than the show that aired before it.
Wow.
So I'm guessing maybe that's why. That's it for Boruto. I don't know. The main reason I was still watching it was because it was early and was in between stuff I was interested in. But now it's just, I don't know. It's all filler anyway, so. There we go. Then we'll move on to My Hero Academia episodes 44 and 45, I think was what we were. Yes, 44 to 45.
I have a very surprising take on the second of these two episodes. Wait to find out what it is.
Okay. So the first, let's see, of them, and now you can laugh at me for not remembering things that happened a week ago because I'm so bad at it. They were fighting that dark shadow quirk of that guy, and you know, they managed to deal with that and then go forward and try to and end up sort of trying to get the villains to rest and they managed to catch up with them because they've captured Bakugo and Todoroki. And then the kids managed to actually through some teamwork rescue, well, just one of them. They only get Todoroki, so Bakugo still gets grabbed. And So then he's gone, and everyone's like, you know, trying to figure all the pro heroes are trying to figure out where he is so that they can like go and try to rescue him while everyone else is, you know, still a bunch of them aren't in great shape and are just in the hospital. So then some of them, the kids are like, well, we're going to go and try to rescue Bakugo ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your hot take?
Yeah. My hot take is that this was like a really, really good twist. Like, I really liked it. I thought, I was like, okay, what's going to happen is that at the very last second, Deku is going to go and get him out of there. Or at the last second, Bakugo will be too strong and he'll escape. But it's like, no, he actually got captured. And of all people to get captured, it's Bakugo. So now Bakugo is the damsel in distress, which it's hilarious, but it was the last thing I expected. So that's like the first time in My Hero Academia history that I sat there and I've been like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And that was like everything else about this series. It's been so predictable, but that wasn't predictable, so I got to give them credit for it. Now, if they can pull this off and turn it into a Soul Society quality arc, that would be fantastic. with Bakugo playing the part of Rukia, so this could I'm not saying it will, but it could end up being really good. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's a really good point. See, I didn't really think about it because I knew that he was going to be captured, but then I was thinking, yeah, that actually is a good twist if you don't know that's what's coming.
Yeah, I'm clueless on this, so purposely. I've tried, like, I remember when I first got into anime, I would just blindly Google stuff, and then everything would get spoiled for me. Now I try as hard as I can not to be spoiled. Because, you know, like, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm not spoiled. But I can tell you this. There's so many My Hero Academia cosplayers at the con I was at this weekend. It was like, you should have just called it, like, My Hero Con. Because it was just, like, all, and it was like, you'd have like female versions of every male character. Yeah, it was like crazy.
Well, yeah, I have just, I keep meaning to go to, I need to go to conventions more. I keep meaning to go to the one that's in my city, but then like each year, like something is going on, it seems. So, so I have not really kept up with what everyone's cosplaying as. Other than My Hero Academia, what's the popular ones?
It's My Hero Academia and it's Super Crown.
And Super what?
Super Crown.
Huh, I haven't even heard of that one.
Okay, Super Crown is based off Mario. It's basically just female cosplays of every Mario character. So you get a woman wearing like really sexy, really risque clothes and having Bowser horns on her head and a Bowser cell on her back. So that's pretty much what it is. That's what the girls are wearing.
Wait, is that like Bowsette?
Yeah, it's a meme.
Okay, I was familiar with that, but I hadn't heard of it as Super Crown before.
Well, that's what they give for the general name of everything, you know, Booette, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so for me, it seems like it's just like an excuse to dress scantily clad, but whatever. I guess you can cosplay whatever you want.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, My Hero Academia. Then we come to the new show, The Promised Neverland, Episode 1. So, Toonami decided to make air something really special. They decided to air a slice of life series about a bunch of orphans that are living together happily and go on merry adventures in their imaginations. No, wait, that's Muppet Babies. This is on Toonami, so you of course know there's going to be some twist midway through. Which of course there is, because it turns out that they're actually living essentially on a farm and are being, you know, just raised to be eaten by demons. Well, two of the kids find that out. So then they decide, you know, we need to figure out a way to escape. I'm not sure why they don't, although I'm not entirely sure how they, why they don't just use their super teleportation powers that they must have had in order to get out from underneath that truck without anyone noticing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I screwed up my DVR, and I guess I was under the false impression that I could record something after the fact, but I didn't, so as a result, I had to watch this first episode sub. So I don't know anything about the dub, whether it was good or not. I have my fears because the main character is yet again voiced by the same exact voice actress who is doing like every single main character on Toonami anymore.
She actually doesn't sound anything like Gon in this.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope not.
She does. She doesn't. I would not have, like, even if I hadn't known that, I wouldn't have even guessed that was the same person doing the voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear. But yeah, this was, it wasn't bad. It just, it's, there's nothing new about it. You know, it's, you know, pretty much, you know, not too different from Attack on Titan, if you really think about it. You can't go on, can't go beyond the wall, and there's all these secret things and, you know, going on behind the scenes, and can't trust anyone, and you're going to get eaten, you know. It could become good, but I don't see, I don't know, it just does not seem all that different to me.
Well, I think I can tell you that this series is going to be very different than Attack on Titan. There's some kind of similarities in the premise and stuff, but honestly, in execution, it's much more reminiscent of Death Note.
Ooh. Well, okay.
Yeah, you'll probably see more of that in the next episode. But yeah, actually, I had a theory, because you mentioned to me about how Erica Mendez, that's her name, she keeps like having the same voice. Like she had like for Gone, for that guy in Megalobox, for Young Paul Naraf, and I think you said it was the same voice in one of the Sailor Moon characters.
No, the Sailor Moon character wasn't. I mean, it was her, but she didn't have the same voice.
Oh, okay.
But what other one did she have that same voice in? Now I can't remember. I knew there was one other one.
Well, she was in. Well, she did Ryuko in Kill la Kill, but that was a different voice. So
yeah, that was a totally different voice. That was her best work, in my opinion. It's one that, isn't it one that's on right now that she's in?
That guy, on Boruto, that character.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about him.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say my theory was that they all seem the same because I noticed something. All of those ones where she basically does like the same voice, they're all dubbed by Viz. The other one, like The Promised Neverland, isn't dubbed by them, and neither was Kill la Kill, or for that matter, Konosuba, if they ever decide to air that on Toonami, where she also does a different voice. I don't. It just is nice to know, to remember she can do different voices. It's just that you kept hearing the same voice over and over. I think that was probably like a decision of the voice director.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, we're done. Back to Promised Neverland. I enjoyed it. The biggest problem I had was when I remember originally reading this, and I thought it was really good when I read it in the manga, because I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I saw a twist coming, but I didn't really see it was going to be this, and it took me by surprise. So I can't really, knowing that's what happened, I can't really put myself back in that position of how I would feel if it was a surprise. But I think it was done well, mostly. Maybe it kind of took a little while to get to the twist, because again, you know that there's going to be a twist at some point,
right?
Because they're not going to be airing Muppet Babies on Toonami, although maybe they should. That would be a nice show. We could watch that again. But I can still remember the theme song.
Okay. So, what do we have next?
Sword Art Online, episodes 58 to 60. Oh, boy. So, we'll start with episode 50. 58. So, they're all... So, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Kirito are in, like, the school and stuff. And some of the noble guys, people there, are jerks. That's basically that episode. Next episode, episode 59, the one that, you know, everyone is, that, like, caused all the controversy and stuff. Also, the noble guys are jerks. It's kind of like, I know the order is reversed, but it does feel like someone watched Black Clover, saw, like, the over-the-top, you know, like, jerky nobles and thought, I think they're too subtle about it. Because in this one, the bad guy, other students decide, hey, we're going to, like, we're going to, you know, kidnap and hogtie these girls, and then basically, then have sex with them, you know, forcibly, while these other guys have to watch. And I'm just like, what? Like, I wrote a summary of this episode, that big one, and it's a pretty short one. It was simply this. Why? Why with a period, not a question mark? What, like, what? Where? Why? That came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kirito is able to pull off his his hacks and, you know, just, well, kill one of them and slice arms off the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what they cut out.
It's my understanding that someone said they actually didn't really cut out that much. They just kind of, like, shortened it, the thing a bit, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and get to the third episode. Oh. We can discuss that more.
So then, because they killed someone which goes against the taboo index, they get taken into custody, and the person who's doing it is apparently an older version of Alice. Remember her? That girl that all this stuff has been about that we haven't seen since then? So they're locked up they're kind of taken to this other place and locked up. But then they manage to escape, but then are caught again and told no one has been able to escape that, which is
except they just did.
except them. And I'm thinking, well, if they were able to, no one did. But anyway, one of the other guard guys is there, and he's gonna like fight, and he's like decide, and he's like gonna, you know, throw them back, and they're gonna fight.
Yeah. Alice, her character seems like a direct ripoff of Saber from Fate Stay Night. I mean, like, completely. And, what I don't understand is, the thing I keep having a problem with is that Kirito's just, like, gone along with this whole new world thing, I would want to see mentally, like, him breaking down because he knows this isn't his real world and he wants to get out of it, but instead he's just kind of going along like, okay, this is my new life, and it bothers me because I'd rather see him, like, having some conflict over it, but it seems like he's just, okay, I'm going to live this new life, and that's that. So, you know?
Yeah. Although, one thing that's, like, the weirdest, this is one of the weirdest parts about that scene that, you know, the attempted rape scene that caused all controversy. Okay, so one of the guys, you know, when the girls are tied up on the bed, he, like, you know, just takes his, like, he's like, so then he just does that thing, until sometimes the anime characters do, where, you know, they just kind of, like, take their, like, throw their clothes off and they're just in their underwear and they just kind of jump on to, try to, like, jump onto them in sort of a belly flop. And it felt so weird because that's normally done at that sequence, that sort of thing, as like a piece of comedy. It's the sort of thing you sometimes saw on Lupin, or there was a part in Fooly Cooly where it was done. And the joke normally happens is that then the guy who tries to do that then, you know, just gets hitting the head and pushed back or something. And it's just such so weird to have, you know, to have this like serious scene and then like have this just goofy looking thing on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
I don't know. Like the whole thing just, it just felt like it kind of came out of, it just came very suddenly and felt just sort of weird and unnecessary. I mean, I don't know if it really deserved like the controversy achieved, but it did feel, especially because Sword Art Online is like ultimately ain't, even if it's like, you know, it's aimed at a young, it's like considered shonen, you know, on like the level, like not the same genre, but the same sort of audience, I think, is like, you know, Naruto or One Piece or something. So suddenly bringing this sort of thing into it felt like just so out of place.
Well, I mean, they did kind of have it back in the Alpine Online arc. They had something similar.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. That. Yeah. Like this thing where that was when Asuna got attacked by the tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our takes on this episode, which I probably would have had more to say if not for the fact that we had to put it off a week, and by that point it had just been like, oh yeah, that was that episode. Well, there's another one now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Diamond is Unbreakable, episodes 30 and 31, because I'll kind of be taking them turns. So the first one is when that woman who, I can't remember her name, the one that Kira's pretending to be the husband of, finds this cat which got hit by the arrow, but then it dies, but then so he kind of buries it, but then it turns out it has a stand, or it is a stand, or I don't know, it was kind of a little confusing on that point, where it's able to manipulate air or oxygen, so he ends up, you know, just having to kind of fight it, and eventually just kind of manages to distract it with like a ball, like a real cat would, and just kind of puts it up in the attic where there's not light, so it'll stay down. And then the guy's son, you know, notices him doing all that, and is like, okay, this isn't my real father. Who is he? What's going on? And wants to try to figure out what's going on there. So I understand you didn't like this episode much.
Nope. Yeah, there's been a lot of bad episodes, but this one might have been the worst. And I'm starting to think that the creator of JoJo might have some sort of mental illness, because all this stuff about animals dying, it just seems like he's gotten obsessed with it. And believe me, that there are people who have mental illnesses who torture animals. In fact, there was one person who was a former friend of mine who did something similar, and it's disgusting. And I don't like the fact that this series seems to glorify the killing of animals. I think there might be something wrong with.
Well, I don't think it's glorifying it, because I think I remember reading someone said that the author said that the reason for that is that because he thinks, you know, killing animals like that is so bad, it's what he has the villains do to show how bad they are.
Right, but then why doesn't any other author do that?
I don't know. I'm sure there's got to be, there's at least some that have.
So, yeah. This episode sucked, and I've given up on this arc altogether, because it didn't get much better in the second episode. It was at least a little better, but I'm just waiting for part five to see if that brings it back to its old glory.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll just get to episode 31. They meet a guy who's living in one of those transmission tower things, but then it turns out that it's actually his stand, which has a rule, but that when someone's in it, including himself, they can't get out, but they can get out if someone else comes in. So he was, you know, tricked Josuke into entering it, so then he could try to get out, but then the alien guy is like able to help them to let Josuke out, but then he ends up having to fight the guy himself. And, also there's a bunch of cuts to, Rohan doing investigative work, but, stuff with the, Superfly stand is the main one, I think. I thought it was okay, but, something amusing someone noticed. Okay, do you remember Tower of Grey back in part 3, early part 3? It was the, sort of insect stand when they were on the plane. Do you remember that?
That's a little too far back for me.
Okay, well, it's basically like to sort of fly, and the guy's able to use it to, like crash planes and stuff. So that one's named Tower of Grey, and someone observed Superfly is a tower. The stand in this episode is a Tower of Grey, whereas the one named Tower of Grey is a Superfly. Okay. So that was it. I enjoyed them more than you did, but I will admit they weren't like ones I was too thrilled about. Really, I do know we are going more towards the sort of climax, and I'm excited about some of the things that I know are coming up that I'm interested in. So
I hope they bring back Joseph Joestar. Like, if he can have at least a little bit of time. That would be nice.
Yeah, well, there is one especially fight that I think starts in like maybe two episodes that I was especially interested in seeing. So we'll see that. Okay. So we'll close our Toonami stuff with we've been going for a while, so many things to cover, and then we've got our Full Metal Alchemist review at the end. So, Hunter x Hunter, episodes 137 and 138.
Okay, so we have a new arc to begin. And it's the 12 Zodiacs, as they're called. They're apparently important hunters who have important things to do. And they all gather to decide how they're going to figure out how the next chairman is going to be chosen. So what they do is they decide they're going to all write down their idea for the election and put it in a box. But guess who's there? Gene, as in Gon's father. Gon is out for the count, but Gene is still about doing his business, and Gene has put one of those in, and it turns out that Gene happens to be Vladimir Putin, because he has rigged the election, and so he managed to rig the election, that way the election is done the way he wanted it to be done, but unfortunately... his idea to do this doesn't turn out the way he wanted, because that green guy, I forget his name, he doesn't let him look at any of the votes, because everyone votes, but the problem is you need over 95% of the people to vote. Now, that is just a ridiculous number. I mean, you just think about it. Those hunters are off on doing all these big missions and stuff. So how in the world are you going to get these hunters to do, you know, to go vote whenever they're off doing these life-threatening missions? But that's the way Gene wanted it, and that's what happens. And as a result,
I think the 95% requirement was set by the previous chairman, not Jing. I could have sworn that, like, he said that in a sort of video. He said, like, it would need to be decided with a 95% quorum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in any case, they don't get 95%. And as a result, they are going to revote, and the revote comes out the same way. They don't have enough. And there's more politics and politics and politics and politics. And we get to know a few of the Zodiacs. We're obviously supposed to hate Pearson. I can't tell whether we're supposed to hate or like Gene. I hate him for that much, but maybe we're supposed to like him, and I just missed the boat on that one. But and then you've got the other thing that's going on. Killua thinks of this brilliant idea of how to save Gon, and the way to do it is to get his sister, his little sister, to save Gon. Now, why would that work? Well, we get some flashbacks, and we find out that Killua's sister, well, what happens with her is that you can make wishes to her, and they'll come true. But the problem is, after you make those wishes to her, she will make demands. And if you don't do her demands, then you die. And you don't just die, but you just, like, explode. And I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. But Killua's sister has great power, but they've locked her away. Her family has, because they don't want her to kill anyone else. So, and plus, she doesn't just kill you. She kills, like, the person you love the most, too. So, assuming that would happen, that would put Gon at risk for Killua's sake. So, yeah, so this is going to be kind of tough. How is Killua going to figure out a way to get her to heal Gon? Then there's also, in that other episode, you saw that guy who was from the original arc who hasn't appeared in a long time, Hisoka.
Hisoka, yeah.
Yeah, he's like suddenly going to do something along with Illumi, Killua's brother. So there's a lot of potential for this. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to spoil anything. So it could be good. It could be bad. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, honestly, I was mostly bored in these because it's all about these election stuff. And the thing, here's the problem. I don't know any of these characters up until this point. I mean, we kind of knew some about Jing, but you know, like, not really that much. He was the only one outside of, you know, the green guy that we really knew anything at all about going into this. And now it's like, all right, are you ready for the suspense of which one of these characters you don't know is going to be the chairman of the Hunters Association? And I'm like, no, not really. And then there's all this stuff about the convoluted ways in which they, like, choose the way they're going to do it and all that stuff. And it's funny because when Hisoka's there, he just seems bored with the whole election thing. And I was just thinking, oh, golly, that's how the audience feels.
Yeah.
That's why he's there. He's to mimic what the audience feels about this whole election thing. The thing with Killua and his sister was more interesting. I think I might have liked it more if not for how kind of dull all the election stuff was. But it was definitely the better of the plots.
Yeah, that tends to be the better part. But the election thing gets more interesting whenever a certain person throws his hat into the ring. So that. There is at least something good that's going to come of the election thing, so don't give up on that yet.
Okay. I think I might know who that is, but I'm not sure, so we'll see. But yeah, it's not even just that the election so far isn't that interesting. It's that they spend so much time setting it all up. All they really had to do was just have some, like, was to, like, all you could have just had the chairman, like, give these specific, like, rules on how to vote for it. They could have just, he could have just had that. And then we could have skipped through, like, 20 minutes if they had just done that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all of our Toonami stuff. Then we'll move on to the other shows. We got iShield 21, episodes 126 and 127.
Okay, I'll try to keep these short. The first one of iShield 21 was just pretty much that Sakuraba guy who's the receiver. And that little kid that thinks he's so great. And then he says, no, I'm not the ace. And I'm thinking, yeah, of course you're not the ace. Because in football, the ace is the quarterback. If there's any team that a receiver thinks he's an ace, that's a bad sign because they must have a bad quarterback. Every single football team that's any good, the ace of the team is the quarterback. It's not the running back. It's not the linebacker. It's not the receiver. It's the quarterback. So whenever, what's his name? The main character, Senna.
Senna?
You know, saying that they're saying that Senna's the ace. It's like, no, if Senna's the ace of your team, that means your team is bad because the quarterback has to be the most important player on your team. That's just the way it works in football. So, so they have that whole thing, and then he thinks a little positive, more positively, and that's it. Now, the second episode, which I should remember more than the first episode because I watched it more recently, let's see.
Do you want me to say it? Because ultimately this episode is just the guys put those sort of medical masks on to make it so they can't breathe as much. And the idea being that that'll like be a way to have more intensive training and stuff. So, you know, they wear them, they do all their training and stuff. They keep them on all the time. And that's it. That's the episode. That is the entire episode.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I couldn't remember anything about it.
There's like a brief bit where the coaches of the two teams kind of have a conversation, but that's the only thing that's really unrelated because everything else is just the guys wear those things and work and like, you know, try to train with them on.
Now, is that guy the real coach of the Devil Bats or is he just a trainer?
I thought he was the coach of them.
I don't know. He doesn't really act much like a coach. He acts more like a trainer.
This might sound kind of... Well, I mean, on a high school team, are those positions necessarily different?
Yeah, a lot different.
No. I mean for like a high school team. Would it be that uncommon to have someone take both positions?
Yeah, that would be very uncommon, believe me.
Okay, yeah. let me see if I can double check on this. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, well, I think he's just supposed to be both, like, it's mentioning, you know, the coach guy for the White Knights. It says, like, he's their coach and trainer. For the one on the Devil Bats, it just says coach. But, I mean, I guess he's just supposed to do both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it might be more likely in this world where players have to play both sides of the ball. But in real life, everything is all specialized, so you'd never see that. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, like the second episode was, I mean, like the second episode was basically nothing. The first episode was a little better. I mean, it was kind of boring filler, but I mean, it did, like, you know, make me care a bit more about Sakuraba. It was like, you know, some decent character stuff for him. But otherwise, nothing too much to really say about them. I think the game does start in the next, like, episode or two, so that'll be nice.
Thank God. Thank God. I'm just... And they're just so... I mean, is this filler, or is it, like, actual stuff that happened?
I'm pretty sure it's filler.
It's either filler or stuff that happened in, like, one page of the manga, and it got expanded. Because, I mean, that's the thing, though. Whenever this show has games, they're so fascinating, and a lot of the times they're even pretty good football, but this type of stuff is just mediocre, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So we get to Yomushi Petal episodes 32 and 33. So essentially what is happening is, you know, it's in between the races and everyone's, you know, kind of getting ready for like, you know, the next one. Then they get to starting it, but then the big guy, you know, because he was like in bad state from the previous thing, you know, really tired and actually kind of collapsed, so he's having trouble, like, you know, going like at the right speed and catching up with everyone. So so Onoda like insists, like, oh, I'm going to go back and try to help him go, you know, reach forward. So he does, and it doesn't work at first, but then he suggests that they should sing the theme song from his favorite anime, and that allows them to pedal faster and start and start catching up with passing people and trying to catch and in attempting to catch up with the rest of the team.
Yeah, so I guess if you sing Hime, 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 Suki, Suki, Daisuki, then that makes you go faster. It's like a Starman in Mario Kart. I mean, that's the biggest comparison I can make to it. Is doesn't the Starman make you go faster? And
yeah. Yeah, it makes you move a bit faster. It also makes you invincible. Although because you're going faster, that means that you sometimes can have an annoying tendency of, as a result, inadvertently plummeting off the edge of the thing and having to have Lakitu fish you out.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But it does mean that, like, you know, you get past, like, you know, any banana peels, and if you hit any other players, instead of it just, like, you know, knocking them into them, it'll have the same effect as if you hit them with a shell. Like, you know, they'll be temporarily incapacitated.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we talked more about Mario Kart than we did about... I was playing that, actually. I was at the con, and we brought out Mario Kart 64, and I played against my sister, and our first battle... We go into battle at the block fort, and man, it was like the most epic battle Mario Kart I've ever had, because she got me twice, and I was down the one balloon, and then I was like strategically going around the place, and it took like half an hour, and I finally came back and beat her, but we were playing that same battle forever, and we missed the panel because of so we missed the panel we were going to go to because that we just took so long in this one battle.
A lot to say, I guess, about Mario Kart and such. You know, the red shell, the double triple red shell is kind of broken.
Yeah, well, that's why they wouldn't let you have the triple red cell in the battle mode. You can only get a single red cell, because if you could get a triple red cell, then the match would be over right there.
Yeah. Okay. So we got those. Then we'll do World Trigger episodes 23 and 24. All right. So basically the I'm going to guess kind of go through both of episodes. So the invasion is still going on. So after first we do actually get to see the actual like neighbors who are basically sitting around this table like the Council of Doom. you know, and talking and stuff about their plans. There's a brief bit where some of those giant, like, flying things, Ilgars, like, try to crash into the border headquarters, but they're able to survive that by, you know, destroying some of them. Let's see. Anyway, so, let me see if I remember. Okay, so basically, Osamu wants to, you know, go and help Chika, because, you know, her, she's like his teammate, and, you know, so he wants to, you know, go help her against the neighbors and such. So they get told, well, that's okay, but Yuma can't, because he should be going around and actually fighting the bigger things, because he's activated his black trigger, which, Kitora goes with Osamu, to the delight of Kitora, Osamu, shippers everywhere, But so they managed to find them, but at that point, a bunch of the neighbor monsters are attacking. There's actually, I like the part actually where Osamu fights the Marmod, you know, the same one that he basically got completely like destroyed by in the second episode. I like the way that made it showed that he's gotten stronger and stuff by being able to beat it. I love the bit where he's trying to do the training, the flashback to the training, and Shiori is like has that special Yashamaru series of them. Do you remember that? Where?
What?
I
don't remember that.
Oh, it's the one where he's doing the training for it, and she's like, I designed them myself, and she introduces, like, the different, like, neighbor models, as if, like, it's like a Power Ranger thing. Like, she's, like, going, like, overwhelming power and armor, Yashamaru gold, swift slashes and sharp body, Yashamaru black, popular with the ladies, Yashamaru honey brown, intrigued by Yashamaru black, but still doesn't know their siblings separated at birth, Yashamaru pink. I don't know. I thought that part was hilarious. Okay, he's able to beat that. Kitora manages to, you know, fight off the other thing, but then one of the rabbits, you know, attacks and manages to sort of basically do that cubify thing to her, and they manage to figure out what the actual aim of the neighbor's invasion is, which is to go after all the trainees, the C-rank agents, because they don't have the bailout function that would allow them to escape.
Mm-hmm. What episodes were these again?
23 and 24.
Okay, so 25 is next.
Yes.
Just making sure I was watching the right ones. Yeah, I was really bored with the second of these two episodes. I don't know why. It's just, maybe I was just tired, but yeah, that the second one just kind of got me bored, and
too bad. I thought you missed that joke that I described, because I thought that was one of the funniest things in the series, honestly. Okay, so then we'll finish with, well, not really finish, but we'll finish the sort of recap stuff with Steins Gate episodes 10 and 11. Okay, so wait, is this, yeah, 10 and 11. Okay, so they make those changes because of the thing, like, you know, the city is different. Also, apparently, Luca actually did get switched to a female this time around. Which, of course, leads to weird to the awkwardness when Okabe doesn't realize that's the case. yet. Oh, and actually, that's something that it's been bothering me before, but it's really kind of annoying me now. It's the fact that there's all these weird, like, wacky misunderstandings and confusion when it would take very little time to actually explain it. Because all he has to say is, oh, well, there was a change in the timeline, and that's why I remember things differently. Because they know they've been doing this. They know that's the case with him. He doesn't have to, and no one seems wonders when he's confused about something, oh, are you remembering something differently? Was there a change in the timeline? Like, there's so much stuff that, like, we're sort of, even, like, even if it's, like, conflicts and awkwardness, where they really should be able to quickly communicate to figure these things out.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I don't get it.
We've got some of those things, more. In the meantime, they're then trying to work on, a way to actually send information to someone in the, information to someone's brain rather than just their, phone. But, Kurisu gives her backstory with her father because she got, because she was a better scientist than him, so he started hating her. Anyway, so Okabe gets a, so the episode is, So two things happen towards the end. They, one, find out that they've actually been inadvertently connected to CERN during this time period. And also there's that part where Okabe gets that sort of like text message with the severed doll's head picture. So he's like, oh, something might be really bad. I should run back. And of course, then he just bursts in on the girls when they're, you know, in the shower, leading to, you know, wacky comedy. which again is a case of all he had to like really just say is, well, I came back because I felt because I saw this on my phone and felt a premonition. It just explained the situation.
Yeah. I put up a tweet asking if this is ever going to pick up, and I've been assured that it will. So I'm keeping the faith for now.
Okay, well, we'll see. I have heard repeatedly that the second half is the point where it like gets better. So there's like what 24 or 25 episodes. Let me see. There's a 25th that's an OVA. I don't really know how important that is to it, but yeah, but we'll be in the second half after the next episode, so hopefully we'll start to see some more things happen then. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's just everything moves so slowly. It's such a case because this isn't a series that's got like a bunch of small flaws or like, you know, things. It's just there's one very obvious flaw with the series, and that's that its pacing is way too slow. Like, so many other things are really good about the series, but it's such a big and noticeable flaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah. Oh, so yeah, that was Steins Gate. Hopefully it will be getting better. That's what I've heard so many times, so I am willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. I just really hope it does get a lot better, and it's going to have to get really good for me to, like, you know, start seeing why it's like at the top of so many people's lists after the sort of okay first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't understand why this is like so many people think this is like one of the greatest of all times whenever the plot moves at a snail's pace, you know?
Yeah, well, like I said, it must be all about that second half. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how much it makes up for the first half. And like I said, that's the thing. It's the if the pacing was better, this would be a really great show, these episodes, because so many other things work so well. So if they manage to fix the pacing in the second half, then we'd probably have a really good show. So we'll see. I guess we'll give for our top three then, which I suddenly realize is actually kind of hard because I'm looking at the things and I'm realizing, wow, so many things weren't really that great this week. Like, wow. Yeah. Let me think here. I think I will, especially after what you pointed out about that, I'll put My Hero Academia in a first place. Then I'll go with, I'll go with World Trigger, and then I was going to say something, but I forgot. Oh, Promised Neverland. That's what I was looking for. That'll be third place. Sorry for the break there. I was just reaching for something. I'm like, no, not this. Oh, yeah, that was it. There you go. That's my three.
Okay, so my top three, yeah, I am going to My Hero Academia because I just thought that was a fantastic twist. We'll see what it can do with it, if it makes good on it or if it just goes back to generic shonen again. But right now, it's got a lot of potential. Number two would be Hunter x Hunter, and number three, I will go with, I don't know. I'll go with The Promised Neverland, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's those then. Now we'll, I guess, get into a review of, oh boy, such a mouthful, Full Metal Alchemist, the movie Conqueror of Shambhala. So this was basically the sequel to the original Full Metal Alchemist anime. Like, this is like the final thing to it, like sort of the bonus thing, however you want to say, the epilogue, whatever you want to say it. But before we talk about that, I want to talk a little about what our thoughts on Full Metal Alchemist, the original series, and Brotherhood were going into this. So, for me, well, part of the problem is I haven't watched the original series in so long that I can only, like, kind of remember a few things about its later portion. So, in this, I was just kind of like, oh, wait, who's this character again? What's this? Huh? Help? I mean, I still understood most of the things well enough, but I did, like, had forgotten a bunch of things. What did you think of, like, the first Full Metal Alchemist anime?
Okay, so my opinions are highly controversial on Full Metal Alchemist because I've always been of the opinion that the original anime, which is considered non-canon, is much better than Brotherhood, which is considered canon. And the reasons for that mainly have to do with the homunculi. I can't even pronounce it.
I think it's homunculi.
Homunculi, yeah. The way they would, you had to defeat them in the original anime required some actual strategy and some, it was a lot harder to defeat them. But whenever I saw Brotherhood and Roy Mustang basically killed Lust by snapping his fingers as fast as he could, as many times as he could, and after that I was like, boy, that was such a lame end to that battle. And then every other battle was the same way. And then Edward Elric was insufferable in Brotherhood. And I began to hate him. And that wasn't supposed to be what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to like him. But the way he was, you know, he just was, I'd have to go back and watch to remember the exact reasons why He annoyed me so bad.
I think one of the biggest reasons was that his, like, you know, like, refusal to, like, kill kind of got on your nerves.
Yeah.
Which I will agree with. I have no problem with heroes that are like that in some cases. It works with Batman, but he's, like, essentially a soldier in a war, so the whole thing just feels, like, kind of annoying.
Yeah. And, but I will give Brotherhood this. Brotherhood had some unique characters who were really good, and I really liked. Of course, everyone knows I'm a big fan of Mei Chang. And then, of course, Brotherhood, I always thought, had the perfect ending, whereas the original had a rather, well, cliffhanger ending. Brotherhood ended, like, exactly the way it should have. So I've always felt better about Brotherhood in the end, even though I liked the original one better.
Yeah, well, it's my comparison point. It's like I said, it had been so long since I watched the original one that by this time I could remember some points of comparison. I remember that it was sort of a weird thing, because I feel both series towards the end, not like the ending end. I mean, like, the final sort of arc of the series, both kind of got not so great. There's, like, a bunch of kind of dumb stuff I felt in the original one, like the reveal about their, like, father being was kind of, like, dumb. It was kind of a little silly in Brotherhood also, where he's like, I am a living philosopher's stone, but it still worked. It still worked better, I thought. And then there's just that really weird stuff with the alternate universe, a World War One, and I was just like, wow, that kind of came out of nowhere. So they both were kind of flawed in that way. I do think, like, in terms of the main the characters that are shared between the two, I really did. Well, mostly they were kind of the same, but I did like Edward a lot more in the original than Brotherhood. He didn't annoy me as much as he annoyed you, I think, but he did kind of, I didn't like him as much. But the ending was definitely better. If I remember correctly, Bradley's, like, defeat was better. I always thought it was kind of a bit anticlimactic in the original one. But yeah, it also had a more fulfilling ending, whereas in the original one, it's just like, you know, okay, Edward and Hohenheim, I think, are in that alternate world now. That's basically supposed to be our world, or I guess like an alternate history of our world. And whereas Alphonse is still back in the original world, but he's lost, like, a lot of his memories and stuff, and that then leads into this movie, which is essentially the conclusion of that story. It's obviously like a movie, so I'm not going to do the usual thing where I kind of, like, you know, just go through all the plot points and such. That would kind of take a while, but essentially. So I guess I'm trying to think of what do you think is the best way to sort of approach this review?
Well,
what do you want to talk about first, I guess?
I'm simply going to talk about what I liked about it and what I didn't.
Okay.
So what I liked about it was the return of pretty much every single character of consequence, and getting to have time with them. You know, I enjoyed that. I even enjoyed how they brought on some obscure characters and remembered them as well. And but what I didn't like is, well, pretty much the way it ended, because I was under the impression that this movie was going to fix basically the problem everyone had with it. Everyone had the problem with it that Ed got taken to another universe and now he's gone and they're never going to see him again. And this series doesn't fix that at all. This movie, basically, the way it ends is that Al goes with Ed, and now both of them are gone forever, and no one's going to see them again. And Roy Mustang's sealing the gate so they can never make it back. So that means Ed and Winry, that whole romance thing, that's never going to happen. So I really felt more depressed after this movie than I did after the original show. Like, the original show was enough to make me cry, but this was like made me want to jump off a bridge. I mean, it was that bad. It wasn't like a bad movie. It just was so depressing because it's like, okay, now Edward and Al are going to go live in their new world. Oh, what is that new world? That new world is Germany during World War II. Yeah,
a bit before World War II, but yeah, it's going to happen soon. Before.
Yeah, but good luck with that. So, what did you like? What did you not like?
Well, it is. I think it is a little happier insofar as at least Edward and Al are together again. Whereas before, you know, they were just separated together. Now they're both in the alternate world, but they're at least together as brothers. So, and that's better. But I feel, but I mean, it's not much, but it's still like a little better. But in terms of what I liked and didn't like, well, I do kind of agree that seeing the characters back is different. It was nice to, because I was like thinking that some of the things that we were having original Full Metal Alchemist Edward instead of, you know, Brotherhood Edward, who I like, and I liked him more this way. So that was good. You know, some of the action was usually pretty decent from what I remember. It did manage to bring a lot of things to a close. Like, you know, it got rid of the remaining homunculi that were still around at the end of the previous one, so they kind of concluded that. I didn't necessarily, outside of that, I'm honestly for the most part, I thought this was kind of boring, honestly.
Yeah.
That brings me to what I disliked, and I think here's my fundamental problem with the movie. We look at it, and essentially, what did this movie do? What did it accomplish? Well, it killed off the remaining homunculi, resolved that plot point. Hohenheim got killed. I guess that kind of resolves that plot point. Al got brought to the other world to be with Ed, resolved that plot point, and that was basically what all that happened in the movie. All these things that it actually accomplished, those were the only important things, could have just been done in an episode or two more of the TV series. You didn't really need a movie. So the movie ends up having to be this sort of plot about these sort of like guys working with the Nazis who are trying to open up a portal to the Full Metal Alchemist universe, you know, get power and things. And that plot just isn't very interesting. The villain is, I thought really weak. Like, the main, I can't remember her name, but there was a, that there is the fact that, you know, they all, it is still kind of like depressing in that they just get brought, they're still left here Ed doesn't even like get to say goodbye to Winry. They don't even like communicate.
Yeah.
And while we do see the other characters, like, you know, Armstrong, Hawkeye, Mustang, they don't really get a chance to do much. And I feel like it almost doesn't really give us that much of an epilogue as to what is going to happen in the future of the main sort of universe there. Let's see. Also, they do introduce that that gypsy girl, and it was weird because she gets so much focus that it just kind of made me like think, why you don't need, you're introducing this new character we're supposed to care about as much as the main characters in this like movie, but we haven't seen her before. Or was she like an alternate version of someone from the original anime? She might have been.
Yeah, I think Rose.
Okay, maybe that was the case, but I don't think I don't remember them remarking on that, but it still did just kind of feel like a bunch of attention onto, you know, someone other than the characters we really cared about.
Okay, here's my question.
Okay.
You've got the Nazis in Germany and stuff. Now, this is made by Japan. Mm-hmm. So, like, are we supposed to think of the Nazis as the good guys because their Axis powers and they're on Japan's side? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. Is this series or is this movie, like, supposed to make us feel sympathetic toward Germany because Germany was on Japan's side?
I don't think so, because the Nazis are portrayed as villains in this movie, so I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, it's just, I guess I watched too much Hitalia.
Well, I mean, in Hitalia, all the country sort of get it. I mean, I guess not so much Japan, but even Japan in Hitalia, like, has the characteristics of just being naive and gullible.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. What other things were I going to say? Oh, I was going to notice that a recurring thing in this movie is that guns are useless. Unless they're pointed at Envy, in which case all of a sudden they actually start working.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's like all those like times where people have guns and they either don't shoot them or they all like shoot them at Ed, but oh, what do you know? He happens to not be hit by any of them. So, yeah, there was that. The beginning was especially kind of boring because we spent so much time in alternate, like, Germany. Where it's not like until like about half an hour in that we get back to the Fullmetal Alchemist world. So, I don't know, maybe if they had balanced things out a little better, that would be better. Also, this version, this Wrath, you know, the one who was like the sort of like recreated like Alphonse or something. You remember that kid? Why is he still wearing that?
Not Alphonse. I thought he was the recreated kid of Izumi Curtis.
That was it. It wasn't Alphonse. Of Izumi Curtis. He's still wearing that really goofy outfit. But and then he just kind of gets, you know, he just sacrifices himself to reopen the portal, killing Gluttony usefully in the process. Again, that's like what I'm saying. It ties up the loose ends. It kills off the remaining homunculi, but there wasn't really that need of a like. But that again, it didn't warrant a movie to accomplish what this did. You could have done this in just one or two extra episodes in the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my overall rating, I would give this, I give it a C. That's what I give it, a C.
Oh, we're doing it on grades, then? Okay.
That's what I gave up the whole 4-star thing. I'm giving this a C.
Okay, let me see how I would rate this. I think I'm close. I think I would give it a C+. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unfortunately, kind of another, it's just, I mean, if you watch, essentially, I guess we get down to like the question of is it worth watching? And to be honest, even answering that question seems kind of pointless because you're definitely, there's no reason to watch this if you haven't watched the original series. Like the only reason to watch this is if you've watched the original series, because this is a conclusion to that. But if you watch the original series, you'll want to see the conclusion to it. So you should you'd want to watch this. I guess it applies to the question of, if you've watched the original series, should you watch the movie, or should you just go to Wikipedia and read the plot synopsis to know how it ends? And honestly, I would say that the plot synopsis thing is probably better. Thing to do. I mean, there's still some good stuff in it. Maybe it would work better if not for the fact that it's been so long since I watched the original series. Maybe if you watch this right after going through the original series, it'll work better. But
yeah, it's too depressing in my opinion. I was hoping this was going to be like, okay, now we'll have a happy ending where, you know, things, where Ed and Al are reunited with Winry, and now they can go about their lives in the post-homunculi Amestrius. You know, they'll live their new lives, and you know, we could have a happy thing. But it's like, no, they're going into Nazi Germany. That's where they're going. And it's like, okay, like, I would have been better off had I never even seen this. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you can always... Well, if that's an issue, you can always remember, well, this isn't technically canon.
Now, I was wondering, I have the movie for Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, too. Would you like to watch that one if you can find it? The Sacred Star of Milos.
I didn't even know there was a movie for that. Wait, is this a live action one?
No.
Oh.
No, it's anime. The Sacred Star of Milos.
Huh. I didn't even hear of that one. Let me just take a quick this film was announced after the airing of the final episode. I didn't even know that was a thing. That might be an interesting thing to watch. I'm curious about that one because to what extent the author of the original series made it, because Brotherhood was based on the manga series. Sorry, that's what I mean.
Right.
So I was wondering if the movie, like, was it just, you know, something that the original author was behind? Did she have anything on that? Let me just check who made it. Hiromu Arakawa. It says that they were not included as part of the staff. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it's that similar, but yeah, we could probably watch it some time. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it. So okay. Anytime you watch it, we can.
Yeah. When we get a chance, I don't know, maybe whenever whenever Toonami goes on break, they'll probably they'll presumably do that for Memorial Day. Maybe we could do it then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's something to consider. All right.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll be doing that then. But in the meantime, essentially what I said, I think that if you watched the original, anime series, I think it would probably be better just, to find out what happens in this. Because the plot as a whole isn't really anything to write home about. And all the only... And is mostly irrelevant to, the things that are accomplished. Which is, like I said... The plot sequence is basically the homunculi get killed. Alphonse ends up gets his memories back and ends up with Ed in this world, and that's it. That's basically what you need to know. I'm reminded of when I tell people, like, instead of watching the Phantom Menace, just listen to Weird Al's song about it instead. Because he, like, he summarizes the whole movie in his song The Saga Begins in just a few minutes, and it's to the tune of American Pie. So, yeah.
That's what I might be doing with episode 9.
Anyway, yeah, I guess that would be it. Was there anything else to discuss?
I just wanted to let you know that I will have a series to review in 1 or 2 weeks from now, an anime series that I started, but I'm currently haven't been able to watch anything for a couple weeks. So I'm going to be watching that again. And, yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, this has been episode number 100 of Toonami Therapy. I hope we fulfilled your expectations. But hopefully those expectations were set low to begin with. Yeah, it ended up... Well, the really annoying thing is that because we ended up having to delay it, because I had it all set up, I was going to put episode 100. I was just going to title it, you know, Full Metal Alchemist, the movie. And then when The Promised Neverland came out, I could just put in The Promised Neverland as the title. But now I got to put in both in the title, and it'll be really long and look unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can find all our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. We normally put up episodes on Friday, but if we aren't able to, sometimes we just kind of got to skip over them. On the plus side, I realized that on the podcast page, you can upload podcasts, but you can also upload just text posts. So I realized, oh yeah, that's how I can tell someone, hey, don't look for one this week. We'll get it next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Congratulations, Tiger Woods, and bye-nee.